You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 142.
That little teaser was from the song called On a Podcast by Cruisebox, and that used to be my theme when I first started podcasting, and you'll hear a little bit more about how that developed in a moment. So this is a special 10th anniversary edition of my podcast. What I would like to do is highlight some of the more interesting aspects of podcasting history, tell you a little bit about my particular podcasting story, and give tips on how you can do your own podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. So let's get started. If you're new to podcasting or new to my podcast in particular, you should know that it's all about e-learning. This is podcast number 142. It's 10 years, so how do I account for 142? Well, I used to do once a week, which turned out to be far too much effort on my part. So I moved back to once a month. Over the years, I've done 88 interviews, and I've done topics including e-learning, Blackboard learning management system, classroom technology, lecture capture, collaboration technology, pedagogy, assessment, e-portfolios, and so on. So how did I first discover podcasting? For years, it turns out I commuted to work using public transit, and part of that was in the subway. I liked to listen to radio and music way back then in the dark ages. However, there's no radio reception in the subway. So I had to resort to creating my own music playlists and burning MP3 files onto CDs. I had a portable CD player called the Rio Volt, and this is, of course, before the iPod came out. So speaking of the iPod, MP3 players have been around for quite a while, actually since the mid-90s. But Steve Jobs didn't like them. He said those gadgets were crap, and I think a lot of people agreed. So he announced the original iPod in October 2001. So if you're interested in reading more about the birth of the iPod, here's a good article I have linked in my show notes. I also found a great site on Apple, which shows all the history of all the different iPods back in January 2001 through, and almost every year they released a new version with increased capability. I've probably owned several iPods over the years. Getting back to my problem, though, I didn't have an iPod. I had my Rio Volt player. But I thought there must be a better way. I liked listening to NPR, and I wanted to find out there's some way I could take news radio and put it on my CD. It would be pretty labor-intensive. So I remember doing a Google search, and I probably searched something like download radio audio, and I discovered something called a podcast. So I started listening to podcasts. One of the very first ones was the Daily Source Code. The Daily Source Code was a podcast produced by Adam Curry, and we call him the Podfather. He was considered one of the pioneers of podcasting. And he talked about everyday life, but he also used that as a way to communicate with developers who helped him to develop, among other things, software called a Podcatcher. In fact, eventually, he and some freelance coders came up with a mechanism to convert an RSS to iPod script. He called it iPodder, that moved MP3 files from the host servers to iTunes. Now, eventually, Apple didn't like the term iPodder, so they threatened to sue them for a trademark dispute, and so Curry and Company changed the name to Juice. So he developed his podcatcher, and it was really made obsolete when Apple came out with a new version of iTunes finally in 2005. So that really made it much more convenient to listen to my podcasts. One of the more humorous video clips I found along the way, and I reported in an earlier podcast, was Steve Jobs describing podcasting at the D3 conference back in 2005. So listen carefully and you'll see what I mean.
Radio. Here's another one. Adam Curry is one of the guys that invented podcasting. And he has a podcast called The Daily Source. Let me go ahead and subscribe to that. And we can go
Daily
listen to his latest
code,
one.
Actually.
You know, just click on it.
Your Daily Source code, show number 180.
Something remarkable is happening here. Radio is springing free of the regulated gatekeepers who've managed what you can hear since radio was invented. It's jumping into the hands of anyone at all with something or nothing to say.
With $16 million worth of airplane strapped to my ass.
Adam Curry was a pilot.
The next generation radio content in my ears.
We don't need no stinking transmitter.
I like to think I'm flying into the future.
Podcasting. It's Adam Curry.
That's right. It's show number 180, and it's Friday, everybody. Thank God.
The power.
I've actually had to restart the show three times. My Mac has been acting up like a motherfucker. I don't know what's going on. I think it's something to do with the file system.
Okay.
It was a bit embarrassing.
How do you control, say, dirty stuff? I mean,
we're going to have an explicit flag on these like we do the music so you can know if it's explicit.
So I can find it easier.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So anyway, iTunes became a great way to listen to your podcasts. And I think it's fun to, hopefully you do too, but I think it's fun to think a little bit more about podcasting history. And I found a great website for that. So here's the, there's a link to the podcasting historical timeline and milestones. So in the beginning, there was Adam Curry in 2004. By the way, Adam Curry, I don't think I mentioned, was the first video DJ on MTV. That was his claim to fame. So Adam Curry and Dave Weiner were credited with the invention of podcasting. Dave Weiner mostly with the RSS 2.0, which allowed the inclusion of a link to an audio file in an RSS feed. Hopefully this will be a little bit more meaningful as I continue. So the term podcasting was first mentioned in a Guardian newspaper article. Libsyn was the first service available for podcasters, and they exist today, and it's a good place to start if you want to have them host your podcast. The first People's Choice Award was given to Leo Laporte of This Week in Tech, and his is one of the podcasts that I listen to on a weekly basis. He's got quite a stable now of podcasts, mostly on technology. I listen to This Week in Tech. I also listen to This Week in Google and also one on security. So here's 2005 when iTunes came about with support for podcasting. President George W. Bush was the first president to have his weekly address delivered as a podcast in July of 2005. Yahoo launched a podcasting site in October of that year. And podcasting was the word of the year in December of 2005. In January 2006, Apple's Steve Jobs again demonstrated how to make a podcasting using GarageBand in his keynote talk of that year. And GarageBand is what I currently use to put together this podcast. Blueberry Directory launched in 2006, and this is a site existing today, another site like Libsyn, which allows you to host your podcast. Most folks may have heard of Ricky Gervais, a British comedian. He set the world's record for most downloaded podcasts back in 2007 with 261,000 downloads per episode. FeedBurner, I'll be mentioning later. Google bought FeedBurner for $100 million. This is the software, which is free for us, that allows you to create an RSS feed that's compatible with iTunes. In September 2009, I don't know if you know Marc Maron, another comedian. He launched the WTF, What the Fudge podcast, And I used to listen to him religiously on a podcast with on Air America, which is a liberal-leaning radio show on the web, podcast. And he was basically fired, so he started his own WTF podcast. Another world record was set in May of 2011. Adam Carolla, yet another comedian, becomes the Guinness World Record holder. He had over 59 million unique downloads during 2 years of his podcast. Later, Adam Carolla was sued by a patent troll, claimed to have a patent on that enabled podcasting, and he was about to sue anybody that had a podcast. So he picked the one that had, I guess, the deepest pockets. But Adam Carolla, finally, after about 2 years, the patent troll lost, thanks to the work of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and podcasters don't have to pay up to the patent troll. And here's a podcast I actually still have on my iPhone. Of course, I use on my iPhone now to listen to podcasts. You don't need the iPod anymore. President Obama was interviewed by Mark Maron on his WTF podcast. I only had a chance to listen to half of it, so I'm waiting for another long car ride, and I'll listen to the rest of it. So there's my brief history on podcasting. Okay, what about the birth of my own podcast, Rod's Pulse Podcast? My first podcast, as you can see here, was in February of 2006, and yes, I'm a bit late on my 10th anniversary edition. Now, this was originally conceived as a way to entice faculty. I was at Thomas Jefferson University at the time, and I got the name from Pulse, which was Jefferson's brand for their Blackboard Learning Management System and University Portal. So at one point, I thought, well, I'm doing this on a weekly basis. I'm putting all this effort into it, so why don't I just open it up to the general public? So that's what I did. And here we are today. So as I mentioned, I did it once a week for a while there. That turned out to be too much, and I moved to once a month. But what I wanted to show you here was that how I've improved my audio. And of course, audio, I think, is very important in doing a podcast. You want something that's clear. You don't want it to be fuzzy. You want it to sound professional. So microphones make all the difference. Let me just play a bit of my very first podcast so you can see the difference in tone.
Hi, this is Rod Murray, and you're listening to my first podcast. This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, and if you don't know what podcasting is all about, listen on. If you're familiar with podcasting, then you might want to just tune this one out and wait for the next show.
So I think you get the idea. I think I sound a little bit better now. As it turns out, lecture capture software that was used at Jefferson and elsewhere often has a podcasting component. So a lot of faculty didn't feel the need to do their own individual podcast, but it doesn't prevent you from doing one yourself. So let's talk a little bit more about podcasting, how to do your own podcasting. Periodically, maybe once every year, year and a half, I would do an episode on, I called it Podcasting 101. So here's my Podcasting 101. So in my show notes, I refer to a concept map, producing a podcast. And if you can visualize in the lower left-hand corner is you, the podcaster, and what you have to do. First, in planning it out, you're going to write your show notes, and you're going to take that text, and you're going to host it on a blog server someplace. I use Blogspot, which I'll get into in a moment. And then you're going to record with your microphone. You're going to record a standard MP3 music file, and you're going to host that on a server that has the ability to stream media such as MP3 files. And then what you have to do is you have to create an RSS feed. And that's how we use FeedBurner. We take the information that points to the show notes server, the blog server, because you need a website. The blog is the website that hosts the information about your podcast. And the RSS feed then also contains the information so that when the user is pulling up the feed in their podcatcher here, they can pull the MP3 file and then play it. Or they can load it on their iPod or MP3 player, or more often than not now, This is done wirelessly on directly to your smartphone. So that's a little concept map. So before you're going to produce a podcast, you're obviously going to want to figure out how to listen to them and get some ideas. So how do you listen to podcasts? Well, these days, I think iTunes is still the best way to listen to a podcast. So what you can do is you can go to the iTunes store, and for example, if you search for Rod's Pulse, that's all you need, you'll bring up my podcast, and you can see the list of podcasts there, and you can just click the subscribe button, or you can play individual episodes. So a lot of people use iTunes. It's free. It's on the Mac. It's on Windows, and it probably has the largest selection of podcasts on just about any topic you can imagine. However, if you're an Android person and you want to stay away from the Apple platform, then you can go directly to Google. Google just this year, in fact, it was just a couple of months ago, they finally began to support podcasting on the Google Play Store. So you can go to the Google Play Store, and if you do a search for e-learning podcasts, again, you'll see that mine's up there, and you can play that directly right from the store.
You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast.
Okay, so you can do that course with iTunes now or on the Google Play Store. So what if you want to listen directly on your device? And that's, I think, what most people do these days. And I certainly recommend the Apple Podcasts app. It's a free app for the iPhone and iPad. So you can go and see the link on my show notes and go and download the podcast app. I think it actually comes on all the new iPhones, and I certainly use it. It's gotten a lot better over the years. You can see the album art just like music. You can see the album art for your podcasts. You can subscribe to different stations and have them decide how they're going to play, and what order they're going to play. So that's the podcast app by Apple. However, if you want to look elsewhere, there are certainly other apps for the iPhone, and I have a link to the best podcast apps for iPhone. One that I hear a lot about is called Overcast. I don't have direct experience with it, but that seems to be a very popular podcast app for iPhone. But if you want to stay away from the Apple platform, there are certainly Android apps as well. And there's also a link to the best Android podcast app on my show notes. And if you want to see a pretty much a list of podcatchers of all types and want to do some more exploration, there's a list of podcatchers on Wikipedia, which I highlight in my show notes. Now that you know how to subscribe to podcasts, what are you going to listen to? What are you going to subscribe to? One of my favorites is from WNYC Studios on the media, and I listen to this pretty regularly. They cover all kinds of topics. It was one of the very first commercial podcasts out there and very highly regarded. Certainly their quality is excellent, their audio quality. And as I've already mentioned, This Week in Tech, if you're a techie like me, it's a great place to go, and they have audio and video podcasts you can subscribe to. And sticking in the theme of e-learning, here's a link to an article that lists the five best e-learning podcasts. And happy to say that my podcast is at the top there, Rod's Pulse Podcast. There's the e-learning coach podcast, e-learning stuff, e-learning academy. Another one that's very popular I listen to on occasion is Teaching in Higher Ed. Okay, so now you know how to listen to them, and you've heard some, and you want to start creating your own podcast. So one of the first things you're going to want to do in creating your own podcast is choose a high-quality microphone. And I highly recommend the Samsung. That's Samsung like S-U-N-G. It's Samsung, S-A-M-S-O-N. In fact, I use something called the CO1U Pack. It was a podcasting kit, so to speak. It came in a nice aluminum box. I think I paid about $200 for it. Now I see it's on Amazon for about $130, and includes the microphone, a stand, and one of those devices that anti-vibration holder for holding the microphone. These good quality microphones are studio condenser type mics that invariably have a USB connector on them. So if you're going to spend any money on podcasting, I think the first thing to do is to buy a good quality mic. I also can recommend some other brands. I think ones that are very popular are by a company called Blue Microphones. They're the best-selling Blue Microphone Yeti microphone. It's a USB microphone. about $124. Snowball, Blue Microphone Snowball, is about $50. So you can get away with not much money and get a pretty decent quality condenser microphone. Now I'd like to play music on my podcast, and one of the sources that I've used on occasion is Magnatune, and there's a link on my show notes. And I also have a link to 17 places to find pod-safe music. One place that I found recently is the fact that YouTube has a place buried in their video studio. If you're preparing video to upload to YouTube, they have a link to some pod-safe music. This is music where you don't have to pay any royalties on, and you can download them and add them to your podcast or your YouTube presentation. Now you have to edit your audio file. How do you do that? I'll get into the software in a moment, but one of the things that really hit home with me was when I listened to a podcast on the media, and it was by John Solomon, who unfortunately has passed away, but I have a link to a rebroadcast of his podcast where he talked about how NPR edits audio, and I think you'll find it very enlightening because everybody on NPR sounds wonderful. They know there's no ums, no ahs, but they go to a lot of trouble to clean it up. And here are some tidbits from that podcast.
Before I started working at On the Media, I was an avid NPR news listener. To me, like many devotees, an important aspect of the network's appeal is how smooth, well-crafted, and polished it sounds. Everyone seems so eloquent. Interviewers ready with a clearly posed, on-point question. Interviewees offering an articulate answer. Rarely an or you know uttered. My exposure to the dark room began when I edited my first story. I sat at the digital editing console with a producer listening to an interview with a source I had recorded earlier. With just strokes of the keyboard, he cleaned up and tightened the sound bites I was going to use, taking out sentences, words, and even some of the pauses, making what are called internal edits. Then the various thoughts were woven together technically in a way that would be totally hidden to the listener. NPR interview subjects almost never complain about the slicing and dicing, in large part because the edits make them sound more articulate without changing the meaning. For example, here's Bob's original question in a recent interview taping with National Journal's Bill Powers.
Now, your column this week says that there's actually a disadvantage to being a front runner because immediately the media want to take you down. That is a very serious charge, really, against the media. How true is it? Are the motives really so? Are the motives really so sinister? That's not quite the right word. Are they really so?
You want to say, are they really so vicious?
Mindlessly bloodthirsty. I mean, what you're describing is a kind of bloodlust. Are the media really bloodthirsty? Isn't there something a little bit more responsible going on?
Here's how it sounded after the editing.
Now, your column this week says there's actually a disadvantage to being a front runner because immediately the media want to take you down. I mean, what you're describing is a kind of bloodlust. Are the media really bloodthirsty? Isn't there something a little bit more responsible going on?
So as you can see, there's a lot that goes into editing audio, and they can make it sound pretty professional. To be honest, I guess in a half an hour interview that I might do on my podcast, it takes me several hours to edit all the ums and ahs, including my own. Now, how do you go about editing? That's the next thing you're going to have to decide on. Fortunately, a lot of the good tools out there are free. Audacity is the one I use. A lot of people use this. It's free. You can download it. You see the link for my show notes. There's a version for the Mac and for Windows. You can see the waveform, and you can easily cut and paste and smooth the data. There's a lot you can do with Audacity to make the sound a lot better. So what do you do once you have your sound in a good shape? Then what you have to do is you have to piece it together. So in my podcast, for example, I have an intro, I have an outro, I have music, I have the little bumpers, sounds that go between the sections, and so how do you put that all together? Probably one of the most popular things to use is GarageBand. So GarageBand is available, again, for the Mac or for Windows, and it only costs $4.99. So in GarageBand, you can have different graphics that represent different tracks, and it's easier for you to add tracks, move them around. And so that's how I pulled together my podcast. And there are also some alternatives to GarageBand for Windows users, and there's a link on my show notes for some alternatives. The Sony Asset Music Studio, LMMS, and several others, which I'm not familiar with really, since I do most of my work on a Macintosh. Another tool that I use is, again, free. It's called the Levelator. If you're doing an interview and I'm on the left track and the interviewee is on the right track, we may have different audio levels. And what it tends to do is to bring all that data in, even if it's in one track, it can identify the different levels and smooth them out. So I use Levelator to smooth my audio before I make the final cut. Okay, so now you've got your audio and you've found your PodSafe music if you want to use music, and you have everything together. Now what do you have to do? First, you have to find a place to host your audio file. So Libsyn, as I already mentioned, was one of the early players in this game. They have podcast hosting. So depending on how much storage you need and how many people are downloading your podcast, you'll pay anywhere from $5 to $75 a month to host your podcast. Now, I host it on my own server. I have my own domain, my own server, so I pay for the server, but that's maybe $10 a month, $15 a month. So there are several ways you can do it. But if you're certainly new at this, I would suggest something like Libsyn. The other one I'll mention, in fact, it was already mentioned, was Blueberry, another podcast hosting site. And again, their cost, depending on your needs, are anywhere from $12 to $87 a month. So now that you have a place for your blog, your show notes, either in WordPress or Blogger or some other site, TypePad is another one you might use, you have to make sure that your feed, your RSS feed, which is a special URL, can be added to iTunes so people can search for you and find you on iTunes. FeedBurner, which is a company that I mentioned that Google bought, has a way to grab your URL for your regular blog and turn that into a special URL for iTunes. Now, I won't go into the details at this point, but just note that FeedBurner is also free once you have a Google account. In fact, I use Blogger, which is owned by Google. FeedBurner is owned by Google, and I use my standard Google account to log into each of those services. So then what you have to do is you have to submit your podcast for distribution. And again, you do that on iTunes. People can go to your blog site directly and subscribe through email, or they can go to iTunes, find it, and subscribe. And now that Google Play has started to support podcasting, you can also go to Google Play and look for a podcast and subscribe there. So to sum up, what is the subscription? The subscription is a way to be notified when a new episode is ready. If you subscribe through email, you'll be notified with an email every time a new episode comes out. Or you can go directly to iTunes and subscribe. Or if you have another sort of podcatcher, you can take the feed URL provided by FeedBurner and plug that into your podcatcher. One last thing I want to share with you is a great summary of podcasting, 7 things you should know about podcasting. This comes from Educause. They have a series of 7 things you should know about documents. It's a PDF. I have a link to it in my show notes. And it's especially good in thinking about how you might use podcasting for education. So I highly recommend that if you're new to podcasting, go to the Educause Learning Initiative and look at that document. Of course, the link is on my show notes. So I had fun putting this together. I hope you enjoy it, and stay tuned for my next podcast. Until next time, have a great week. Thanks for listening.
computer. That piece of junk was like a freaking Roto-Rooter. Now we've got Wi-Fi, downloading files fast, listening to everyone who's ever done a podcast. It's history, now you see each and every nation. Radio has got to go, it's our emancipation. Play that song, sing along, mash it up and mix it. Radio is freaking love to Adam Curry fixed it. Yes, somebody heard the call. Now you can have it all.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.